From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. If you break a 30-second drug commercial into parts, you'd hear a few seconds of symptoms, a few more of why you should be taking a product, followed by something like this.
Reactions such as shortness of breath, swelling of your tongue or throat may occur, and in rare cases may be fatal. Side effects may include next-day drowsiness, dizziness, and headache.
And then ask your doctor today. Those breathless lists of potential side effects satisfy legal obligations, but don't stop millions of people from helping make the drug industry a $39.5 billion business. Still, the mind is a powerful thing, and new research shows that informing patients about possible side effects makes them more likely to experience them. It's a phenomenon called the nocebo effect. Chris Burdick is a science journalist and author of the book Mind Over Mind. He wrote about the nocebo effect for the Ideas section of the Boston Globe and joins us now with more. Chris, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Can you expand on that explanation of the nocebo effect?
Sure. The nocebo is Latin for I shall harm, and it's often thought of as the placebo effect's evil twin. It basically means that the potential for a person's expectations of pain or certain side effects can trigger or enhance that pain or those specific side effects.
Could you give us an example of a study in which this effect was tracked?
One of the studies I talk about in the Globe article is an Italian study of a drug for enlarged prostates. And in that study, half the men were told about potential sexual side effects, erectile dysfunction, et cetera, and half the men were not. And then they tracked these men over 6 months, and during that period of time, 44% of those who had been warned about sexual side effects experienced them, compared to only 15% of those who were not warned.
That Italian study was not the only one done. This has been borne out over and over again, which kind of puts doctors in an ethical bind knowing about this nocebo effect. On one hand, they must disclose possible side effects in good faith, but they know that that in itself could do harm.
Exactly. That's the conundrum that they face. There is the need for informed consent, which is a doctrine that has grown up, especially since World War II, after the Nuremberg trials and the Nazi doctors were put on trial. After the infamous Tuskegee syphilis study here in the United States, in which poor black sharecroppers were not told that they had syphilis and were enrolled in this study and were denied proper treatment. So it's an important doctrine that has really blossomed over the last few decades that you need to tell patients about every risk and benefit of a possible treatment. But of course, there's an older commitment that doctors make, which is the Hippocratic Oath. The first premise of that is do no harm. Mm. So if by informing your patient to the utmost, you possibly cause harm. That is the problem.
The truth can literally hurt them.
That's right.
Well, your book is called Mind Over Mind, and this is just one of the topics you cover about the power of the brain to influence success and health. So what happens in the brain when we hear a doctor say, this drug could cause insomnia or sexual dysfunction?
It certainly varies from symptom to symptom. Most of the research has been done in pain. There's a scientist named Fabrizio Benedetti in Italy, and he has focused on a neurotransmitter called, for short, CCK. I won't burden you with the long name. But this is a neurotransmitter that is known to process the alarm in the brain, warnings of possible danger. And there is a drug known as proglamide that blocks that neurotransmitter. And he has done work where giving people covert injections of proglamide and then giving them pain test.
So people expect this pain.
They expect the pain in the study, and then they're given this injection of saline, and they're told, oh, this is going to be a painkiller.
Uh-huh.
And so he compares the reduction in pain to the people that just get the injection to the people that also got covert proglamide.
Uh-huh.
So that is one of those effects that they know neurochemically how it works. But there have been very few actual empirical tests of nocebo effects because it's ethically treacherous to deceive subjects and then deceive them with the aim of causing them suffering.
So how do caregivers manage that? How do they inform patients about drugs that in a way that can help counter this nocebo effect?
There was a recent article in the American Journal of Bioethics from March 2012 that they basically devoted their whole issue to this question. And there's no one arguing that you should hold the truth about dangerous side effects from patients. You have to have a sense of what is the minor side effect and what is the dangerous side effect. And that is a tough boundary to decipher sometimes, because even some of the minor ones, like drowsiness, can be quite important if, for instance, you're a school bus driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one of the strategies they say or recommend is that perhaps doctors can talk to patients about nocebos and suggest to them that they may not want to know every single minor side effect that could happen from a drug or a treatment.
How about for a patient? I mean, how should we interpret this information if we're being treated by a doctor with a particular drug?
Well, for me, I take this as an indication that when given the opportunity, if given the opportunity from my doctor to know about every particular minor side effect of a drug that she wants to prescribe to me, that I might say, no, keep some of that to yourself. Tell me about the dangerous things.
Right. There's a big difference between, you know, kidney failure or headache, obviously.
Exactly. And then, of course, we can all go online if we want to and in a minute find out everything that there is to know about the drug that we have been prescribed or a treatment that is being proposed or the diagnosis that we've been given. And that's another thing that if you are concerned about nocebos, you might say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to...
It would be like falling down a nocebo rabbit hole as far
exactly.
as I can see.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I guess let the doctor do no harm and let the patient beware. Chris Burdick, I want to thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Chris Burdick is a science journalist and he's author of the book Mind Over Mind, The Surprising Power of Expectations. There's a link to more on the book and to his article for the Boston Globe Ideas section on the nocebo effect. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, we may be living in the age of the infographic, but it's not a new tool. We'll hear about the 19th century origins of the modern infographic. We'll chart that evolution when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.